President Bush's fiscal 2009 budget proposal is expected to reduce spending on several federal health care programs. Mary Agnes, could you give us the details?
The president's budget is expected to reduce spending on entitlement programs such as Medicare and Medicaid, as well as cut discretionary spending on health programs, including those at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, while funding for the National Institutes of Health would be frozen at current levels. Overall spending on Medicare is expected to decline by $178 billion, while Medicaid cuts may total $17 billion over the next 5 years. Discretionary spending on federal health programs is expected to be cut by more than $2
billion. What's been the reaction in Congress and among the healthcare provider community?
Well, as you can imagine, people are not happy. When details of the president's budget began to leak out last week, some lawmakers said the cuts would garner little support on Capitol Hill. Groups representing healthcare providers said the president's budget plan would include insufficient funding for cancer research and prevention, and that the budget would eliminate funding for a children's hospital program that trains thousands of pediatricians and pediatric subspecialists each year. Expect similar criticism as more of the budget's details emerge.
What's the administration's response?
Administration officials note that even with the reductions, Medicare is still growing at a rate higher than inflation, with the budget plan slowing Medicare's rate of growth from 7.2% to 5%. And in his State of the Union speech, President Bush said that the nation must begin confronting the rising cost of entitlement programs, which the president said are growing faster than the nation can afford.
The Senate Finance Committee has been examining private fee-for-service plans in Medicare. Mary Agnes, could you tell us more about that?
The panel has had one hearing and has scheduled a second to examine the plans, which are the fastest-growing segment of the Medicare Advantage program. At the first hearing, Finance Chairman Max Baucus, a Democrat of Montana, said the committee's focus on the plans was to determine whether the growth of the plans needed to be checked and whether the law could be better designed to make sure that the plans serve beneficiaries' needs.
What are the concerns about the Medicare private fee-for-service plan?
The plans are not subject to the same federal regulations as other Medicare Advantage plans. For example, they're not required to have networks of providers, nor do they have to submit data about the quality of the care that their enrollees receive, even though private fee-for-service plans are paid at higher rates than other Medicare Advantage plans or providers in Medicare's traditional fee-for-service program. Witnesses also voiced concern about the marketing activities of Medicare private fee-for-service plans, saying that the plans intentionally confuse beneficiaries into thinking that they're still in traditional fee-for-service, when in fact they've switched to a plan that their doctors and other health care providers may not accept for coverage. The marketing practices of Medicare private fee-for-service plans are the focus of a finance hearing scheduled for February the 7th.
Mary Agnes, what's the next step on this issue?
Last year, Baucus and other lawmakers tried to trim Medicare Advantage reimbursements. And while that attempt proved to be largely unsuccessful, there were reductions to a stabilization fund, but that was nowhere near the amount that Baucus and other lawmakers had sought. Watch for another attempt this year to cut Medicare Advantage plans with a particular focus on the private fee-for-service plans.
A House subcommittee has voted to subpoena Department of Health and Human Services, HHS Secretary Michael Levitt, and some Food and Drug Administration officials as part of the panel's examination of the antibiotic Ketek. Mary Agnes, could you bring us up to date on that?
The House Energy and Commerce Oversight and Investigation Subcommittee voted unanimously to subpoena Levitt, asking that he produce all records that were prepared for or used in preparing FDA Commissioner Andrew Von Eschenbach's last March 22nd testimony before the panel. The subcommittee also voted to subpoena two current FDA investigators, a former agency investigator, and one of the agency's clinical researchers. Lawmakers want to see, in their words, if Eschenbach was misled in the preparation and presentation of his testimony dealing with Ketek.
What are the lawmakers looking for?
A memo that the full House Energy and Commerce Committee released last week said the subpoenas were issued to compel witnesses to appear at an anticipated February 12th hearing to, in their words, quote, examine the matter surrounding fraudulent clinical data, close quote, submitted to FDA as part of its approval of Ketek. FDA, for its part, said in a statement that it's provided more than 80,000 pages of information on the drug to the panel, that it's made staff available, and has made every effort to be responsive to the committee's requests. The Energy and Commerce memo takes issue with that assessment, saying that the agency has not turned over some requested documents or has removed information from a key document that was submitted for the panel's review.
Thank you for your time, Mary Agnes Carey, for Congressional Quarterly.